It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 90.5 WESA's content partner Public Source is reporting a problem at Allegheny County-owned Kane Nursing Homes. Experts say frequent overtime is common. For example, a veteran nursing assistant whose job would include bathing, feeding, and dressing nursing home residents worked an average of 80 hours a week for an entire year. Does working such a large number of overtime hours compromise the quality for county nursing home residents and increase the chances of accidents or injuries? I'm joined now in Studio A by Hallie Stockton, who has reported this story for our content partner, Public Source. Hallie Stockton, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Paul.
Also with us in studio is Dennis Biondo. He is director of the Kane Regional Centers. Dennis Biondo, good to have you with us.
Well, glad to be here.
And gerontologist Joe Angelelli, who is also an assistant professor at Robert Morris University. Joe Angelelli, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Paul.
Hallie Stockton, let's begin with you. What led you to look into this story?
Well, we started off by actually just getting a right-to-know request and getting county salaries. And by being able to do that, we were able to identify that the Kane Regional Centers had the highest amounts of overtime payouts of any department in the county. Also, I think it's important to say that they have the most employees of any department in the county.
And so who are the typical residents of these nursing homes?
Well, there are about, as of last count that I saw a nursing home compare, about 950 residents of the Kane Regional Centers. And it's most typical for these county-owned nursing homes to serve some of the county's most vulnerable residents, particularly low-income families, and most are supported by Medicaid.
And what did you look at? What kinds of hours were you seeing?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, we saw, you know, some on the extreme where you see a nursing assistant who's working 80-hour weeks, 50 weeks of the year, and others, you know, registered nurses who have really, you know, detailed responsibilities with these patients who are working 98-hour overtime shifts in a year. And so it really raised the question of, you know, is this going to create an environment where more mistakes can happen?
And in terms of the figures that you came up with, for example, I mean, it certainly is extraordinary and eye-opening to hear that someone is working an average of 80 hours a week. Where did the figures come from? How did you get access to them and were able to tabulate them?
Well, with the right-to-know request, we received all of the county salaries, every employee. So that included all of the nursing assistants, registered nurses, food service workers at the Kane Regional Centers. From that, we were able to see regular pay, what their base salary is, and then overtime pay. And then we worked with the Kane administrator to determine all the factors that go into how we could figure out the hours that overtime time translated into.
So, Dennis Biondo, director of the Kane Regional Centers, why are nursing assistants and LPNs working so many overtime hours, as Hallie and the folks at Public Source are reporting?
Well, overtime is necessary for a number of different reasons, varied reasons. Often it's related to call-offs, last minute. In any 24/7 operation, you're going to find that. And we find that that's common in the nursing home industry and probably related to the healthcare industry. You see that in hospitals as well. It could be, as I said, from things like call-offs at their last minute overtime, or it could be for shifts where we know in advance that we're going to need someone to work overtime and they'll schedule someone to come in overtime. It's not like you can say that the work doesn't need to be done on the off shift.
Someone always has to be there.
And we're providing all the care for a lot of our residents. So you can't say, well, we can do that tomorrow, or this is a task that can wait for another day or another shift. We have to have someone there.
Is there a situation where or does a situation exist where somebody might have seniority and they can call off, and someone with less seniority is, for lack of a better term, stuck with having to fill those shifts and those hours?
We don't see – we call that mandatory overtime, and we don't see that a lot. What we see is we have a lot of folks that are dedicated – they're very dedicated employees who are willing to work the overtime and want to work the overtime. Remember, the nursing assistants particularly – they're caring for residents that they see every day. They become almost like their family member, so that when they're asked to work another shift, they're working with folks that they know, family, residents that they see as their family members, and they're comfortable doing that. We don't see a problem. We don't see problems where, and I noticed in the story there was a mention, and you mentioned it earlier, there's the potential for mistakes to be made. We haven't seen that. We have built in some checks and balances to kind of limit the amount of overtime, but overtime often is based on seniority. If you're the most senior person and there's a shift that's available for overtime, then that's available for you.
So would that explain why one person might be working 80 hours a week? I mean, averaging 80 hours a week, or having a shift that's 12 to 16 hours. I mean, as the person who oversees this, when you see those numbers, what goes through your mind when you think about hours these people are working?
We're very concerned about that, and it is based on seniority. Our nursing assistant pool is a unionized pool, and we built in some limits in our union contracts to limit that. And the shifts the overtime may not always be 16-hour shifts, 12 or 16-hour shifts. It may be folks that come in on their day off, and which is overtime, which shows up as overtime as well.
Joe Angelelli, as a gerontologist, does a situation like this have the potential, in your opinion, to compromise the quality of care?
It does, and we know from the literature that studies that have been done both in hospitals and in nursing homes that excessive overtime is related to poor outcomes like pressure ulcers, like pneumonia, which can lead to urinary tract infections. It's an issue for sure, and what's interesting, I think, about the cane system is, typically when we think about individuals being asked to come in and do overtime work, it's in organizations that have a high level of turnover. And the nursing home industry is notorious for having rates of turnover, particularly among nursing assistants, of about 50%.
And why is that? Just because of being of burnout?
It's difficult work. It's low pay work generally. It's not the best work environments too often. But what's interesting with the canes, they actually have relatively good turnover rates, perhaps too good of turnover.
Meaning people want to stay there.
Yeah, and they have access to it's a unionized position with access to unlimited overtime, and that's not always the best to have low turnover rates. So, but the same things that come into play in a organization with high turnover rates, you have folks working vacant shifts, as Dennis mentioned. That builds it's a vicious cycle that leads to lack of trust among their colleagues, which can relate to poor outcomes, instability, financial burden, more absenteeism, then working more short-staffed, more resentment among the colleagues. I think that's there are, if you look at the data on who's working lots of overtime hours, it's not everybody. It's a certain number of folks, and there's could be the potential for resentment being built by folks who perhaps are even to the point of working a little bit less so that they can stay longer to do overtime, to qualify for that overtime. All of that said, I do want to emphasize, these are folks who by and large come in communities around Pittsburgh and the county that are underserved communities. They are perhaps their only breadwinner in the household, and working overtime is very important to them. So there's a sense that this is a good thing to have access to overtime, but it can certainly lead to problems in terms of the work culture and really just building cohesive teams.
So you're saying that in some cases this is work that is sought after because of the salary structure. For example, as reported in the public source story, the average annual wage for nursing assistants in Pennsylvania is $27,850. The average nursing assistant's base salary at the Kane Centers in 2013 was $34,861. So is this seen by some as if this is an option for people, is it seen by some as an opportunity to bolster their salaries, help make ends meet?
It is, and that's the reality. And we shouldn't begrudge them that opportunity, but we should think about how we need to organize the care in such a way that it's not leading to these folks working back-to-back 16-hour shifts, because there's just no doubting that that's leading to errors of judgment and again – just not the best organizational culture.
Well, but is there direct evidence that the use of overtime at the Kane Centers has led to any specific errors or incidents?
Not evidence. I mean, you know, the research that's been done on this is more broadly based in hospitals and nursing homes in general. But we can't link this person working this many overtime to this medical error. But based on the evidence that we know in the literature, that it's likely that has happened.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a public source report showing that nursing staff at Allegheny County-owned nursing homes are working an abundance of overtime hours and how that may impact the quality of care for residents. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, #EPLive. What concerns do you have about the quality of care for residents? Do you currently work at one of the Kane nursing homes, or are you a former employee? Are you a family member or a current or former Kane resident? We'd like to hear from you and learn about your experiences with the Kane centers. Again, the number to call, 412-246-2002. I'm joined in Studio A by Hallie Stockton, who has reported on this story for our content partner, Public Source. And also with us in studio, Dennis Biondo, who is director of the Kane Regional Centers, and gerontologist Joe Angelelli, who is also an assistant professor at Robert Morris University. Joe Angelelli, what is the recommended number of hours for a member of the nursing staff to work in a 24-hour period?
Well, in a 24-hour period, you know, 8 to 10 hours is probably a healthy shift to be this level of work. It's this is very demanding emotionally work, physically demanding work. It can be very emotionally satisfying work, working individually with elders and persons living with disabilities. But, you know, it's like any kind of other physical work. Doing it more than 8 or 10 hours becomes a problem.
Dennis Biondo, what are the concerns that you have about how the issue of overtime might affect the quality of care at the Kane nursing homes? What sorts of inroads have you made in terms of looking into this? Are you alarmed at all?
Oh, it is a concern. It's one of the things that we look at regularly. Every pay period, we look at the overtime, see who's worked what hours. Each of the centers has an administrator and a director of nursing and assistant directors of nursing. They're the ones who direct the staff. They're the ones who determine whether there's a need for a shift to be filled and whether that shift needs to be filled with overtime. And they're also the ones who – there's a supervisory management person on every shift looking to see – to make sure that the care that is provided properly. And they're the ones who will be on top of the issues of whether or not someone's worked too much overtime or appears to be in a condition or unable to work that number of hours. And frankly, we haven't seen that for the persons who actually do the overtime. And it's a small number. The number of persons who work those extreme hours is a small number. And generally, they're the folks who are able to do it. And we find that they're able to do it and that they're willing to do it. So when we need someone to cover a shift, and often they're covering shifts that others may not want to cover. The 3 to 11 shift, for example, is a shift that's more difficult to cover.
Is there any sense of urgency at all that you're feeling about this, or are you of the mindset that it seems to be working? We haven't encountered – there has been to this point no particular evidence of any specific problems, so therefore we're going to stick with – things as they are, maintain the status quo and go with what we have.
No, as I said, it's something we look at constantly. We're always looking at it. If it appears that, particularly if there's a particular shift that, as I said, the 3 to 11 shift where we're constantly needing someone to do the overtime, we'll hire a person for that specific shift.
Is relying on overtime some – it might be viewed by some as easier than hiring more people because it's been pointed out in the story, for example, Hallie Stockton's story for Public Source, that it helps the county avoid more built-in labor costs like pension contributions, health insurance, payroll tax, that kind of thing. I mean, how much of that is factored into the equation?
I can't say it's not factored in, but that's not the primary reason. Our primary concern is making sure we are able to provide the best care for our residents. Number one thing we look at is making sure we have enough staff working in the building as we need to care for the residents. And as I said earlier, some of those decisions are made at the last minute. They're made when there's a call off. They're made when someone doesn't show up for work for whatever reason. We may have an influx of residents because staffing is based not only on numbers of residents that we have, but the care for the residents, the care that's needed, whether we call it the acuity of the residents on a particular unit may be higher. We have a couple of units that fluctuate greatly from time to time. They're the more short-term units where you may get – one day you have 14 residents on the unit, the next day you may have 20 or 21. So we're covering an extra person or two to on each shift to cover that the needs of that those particular residents.
And Joe Angelelli mentioned the challenge of the turnover, that this is there's a high level of burnout in these particular nursing staff jobs. What are the challenges, Dennis, of staffing these nursing homes?
We've been lucky. As you mentioned, our salary for our nursing assistants is higher than the state average. We don't see the 50% turnover. We looked at this. We look at that every year. We look at that, and our turnover ratio is about between 15% and 20%. So it's much better than the industry average. We don't see it the challenge so much recruiting the staff. It's the challenges of really any 24/7 operation where you have to, as I mentioned earlier, you have to staff it on every shift, and you have to have our employees at work to feed, to assist with the daily needs, to just everything that goes with taking care of some of our frailest and most needy residents.
We're talking about a Public Source report showing that nursing staff at Allegheny County-owned nursing homes are working an abundance of overtime hours and discussing the impact that may be having on the quality of care for residents. Let's go to the phones. Jason, on the north side, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call, folks. Well, I would like to thank the County of Allegheny and the nursing staff of Kane. I am a healthcare provider there. And, Dennis, I think that you do the very best job you can, financial constraints that you have. And, you know, it all boils down to money. And in my experience at the Kane hospitals, I think the nursing staff, they're very caring, but they are understaffed. And, again, the nursing staff, they do the very best they can with the patients that they have. The patients they have are not the average patients that you'll see on the third floor of Mercy Hospital. And the patients are very special. They're very unique. And they have very special problems. And I think the nursing staff, again, with the staffing that they have, they do the best that they can. But now, this boils down to money. And I think the County of Allegheny, their wallet is tied shut. And I don't think there's really much more room for any funding. And I'm going to take a little tangent here, but you know, when I heard the mayor say that he wants to adopt the same immigration policy as the federal government, when I hear the $5.7 billion can be spent on the poor children that crossed the border illegally down there,
Jason, I'm sorry. I think we're straying. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think we're straying off the topic here. As you were talking about and saying quite often, that the staff at these Kane centers are doing the very best that they can. I got the sense that there was a qualification coming, that there was a but, that there was some concern that you might have. Is there? And if so, please express it.
Well, yes, it's a financial problem, and they are understaffed. And
do you see that impacting the quality of care? What is the specific concern that you have there?
Well, I think not every single patient can be bathed at night with the staff that they have at night. Not every single patient can get the specific needs fulfilled. And again, they do the very best that they can. I'm not going to dispute that. But you're concerned about
the quality of care for everybody, and I think that's a concern that a lot of folks have. Joe Angelelli, you wanted to jump in.
I think Jason's getting at an important point here in terms of the cost of bad quality care. Really, the problems that occur potentially because of excessive overtime could lead to a preventable hospitalization. That costs the Medicare system about $10,000 every time somebody goes to the emergency room and gets admitted and they don't have to be transferred there. So there's a cost of doing nothing here, but a lot of it's related to the fact that these nursing homes are inherently – traditional institutional nursing homes are inherently set up to lead to these problems. We should use this as an opportunity, I believe, to think about what comes next. We have these four 35-year-old Kane hospital, mini hospitals really. We spend an awful lot of our money on care that's provided in there, and it's really generally not care that is what people want. Generally speaking, there are alternatives. I know, Paul, you had Dr. Bill Thomas, my friend here on the program, who's speaking about greenhouse alternative. We can do that. We can tear down these old institutional nursing homes and replace them with places where people want to work and wouldn't get paid a better actual salary to do that work.
And what you're referring to, for people that didn't hear that particular show, was a different what could be referred to as a green or new age approach to the idea of long-term care for senior citizens that sort of harkens back to the days of a communal living, which people explored particularly in the 60s and 70s at younger ages, but thinking that that might be a good way for people of older ages to live now in a group home setting where they have a little more independence and are relying on each other instead of staff members.
Yeah, and the work itself is better. The folks that are there are members of the household. They eat with the elders and persons living with disabilities. They do light housekeeping. They do light cooking. It's really a household. And there's 175 of these in operation around the country. Once you get them built, they're cheaper to operate than a traditional nursing home. So the question is, are we going to keep spending in this country in the next 10 years? We're going to spend $1.8 trillion in nursing home care. That's both the Medicare program and the Medicaid program on nursing home care that generally nobody really wants. There's really good models out there. There's good examples, but on average, it's really not what we can do. A lot better, and we know that these new models work. We could replace 60% of those beds for about $70 billion. Now that's a lot of money, but it's also,
better care.
Keeping people out of the hospital. And there's a larger health system angle to this. Those hospitalizations that can be prevented, they will save the health insurers money, not just the government, but the folks who are sort of taking on risk for care of these frail populations. And in Pennsylvania, we're getting ready to have a conversation around managed Medicaid long-term services and supports, which is a different way of paying for nursing home care and other community care. So we have a real opportunity to say, okay, we're going to change the way we pay for this. What are we paying for? Are we going to continue to pay for this institutional care, or are we going to create something new?
412-246-2002 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. And this story that Public Source did, Hallie, one of the things that you focused on was looking at the level of care at the Kane nursing homes. You reported that three of the four Kane nursing homes run by Allegheny County have below average ratings on the national five-star rating systems. Explain the source of this, how these ratings work, and why the Kane nursing homes would be found to be providing below average care.
Sure. Those ratings are derived from Nursing Home Compare. It's a national five-star rating system, and it's typically based on health inspections that are conducted at least annually and sometimes more often if there are complaints, and as well as staffing hours that are reported by the nursing homes. So that's how many hours of care per resident per day. And also, you know, if there have been any complaints or penalties, that star rating system itself, it is a controversial system because it simplifies things so much. And a lot of providers say, like, please, you know, go and visit the nursing homes and actually, you know, go with your gut more so than the rating system. But it's also kind of the face to the, you know, to the world. That's the national system that that can give people kind of a way to initially screen.
So if this is the barometer, then Dennis Biondo, one question that I would ask is, when you hear that a rating system is rating the Kane nursing homes as below average, what is your reaction to that?
It's much as Hallie said. That's a starting point. That may be something, one of the things you look at. But if you're choosing a nursing home, you want to go, you want to visit, you want to talk to family members who have been there, friends who have a good experience there. And our experience is that is we come out very favorably there. The residents that we have, the family members of the residents, overwhelmingly they're satisfied with the care. And there are some, frankly, there are some errors that are made in that rating system. For example, one of our facilities that's currently rated below average, we looked at the data. They just got it wrong. We looked at the data that we gave them, and it's just wrong in the rating system. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the effect of a rating system and the concern that we have when we see that. But when we do see that, we're able to drill down into the data, look to see where that comes from, and if there are issues, we work on those particular issues.
What might be an example of that? Something that you drilled down and saw and said, "Hey,
the obvious example is at our Ross facility. It had a 1-star for staffing. We looked at the data. They just had the wrong data. I asked our administrator, DON, show me what you provided as the data. They gave it to me, and it's just wrong. What they have there is just inaccurate, and you can look at it, and you can see that there's not a way to correct it. We've attempted to go to the folks and say, hey, this is just wrong. Can you correct it? They say, no, we can correct it the next time we're out.
The next time the report comes out, and you have to live with it until that happens. According to the public source report, County Controller Chelsea Wagner says there has been an over-reliance on overtime in county government. And to quote her, quote, the consistent overtime shows that you are running the operation with fewer resources than is appropriate, end quote. What about what she is saying? And is it better to be fully staffed than rely on overtime, which seems to be the question that she is alluding to.
And this goes to something that Jason, the caller, mentioned early in his comments. Staffing, when we look at staffing, we determine the number of staff. Again, as I said, we determine based on not only the number of residents but the acuity. And I can tell you that the county administration is very supportive of the Kane Regional Centers. When we ask for nursing staff particularly, we're always able to justify it, and we're always able to get the add positions as we need to add positions. It's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as saying you're understaffed and you need to add more staff, because adding more staff doesn't always mean that you can cover that call off that comes late in the day.
And that's because of the seniority and overtime stipulations?
The person that you hire may be hired for the 11-7 shift, and the call off is for the 3-11 shift. And so how do the hiring another person doesn't mean that they're going to be available when you need that particular overtime. Another example is on a snowy day, you may get 5, 6, 7. We had 11 call offs one day as a result of it could have been something as simple as the Super Bowl. The day after the Super Bowl, you get a lot of call offs. You can't higher to cover that particular circumstance. We were able to cover it with overtime. We didn't have to mandate anybody. We were able to make sure we had enough staff in the building to provide the care without mandating overtime, but it was a lot of it was with overtime.
Is there a limit to how much overtime these nursing staff members work, or if not, should there be? Joe Angelelli.
I can't speak to whether there is a limit.
Dennis, is there – well, let's establish that.
We built into again, as we talked earlier, there's union contracts that cover how you assign the overtime. We have built into those contracts limits on the number of overtime shifts that someone can work.
And what is if the limit is not 80 hours?
It's number of shifts, number of consecutive doubles in a row.
And the limit is so you
two in a row. Then if someone else on the third time, if someone else less senior has signed up for that shift, then we could bypass the most senior person and go to the next senior person.
So Joe, as a gerontologist, when you hear the figures like these and these are what the limits are you thinking that maybe better limits should be put in place?
I would argue yes. If only to, again, there's a corrosive effect in terms of the work environment and the team culture that you want to promote here with folks. There's some resentment with folks who are maybe working two double shifts and are really pretty tired and not really pulling their weight. The other staff are going to resent that. Now, again, we can speak to their need to work overtime and their circumstances at home. Are all things to take into account. But at the end of the day, you want to build a good team culture and have people trusting that the other folks are doing their part.
That's a concern to us as well. I mean,
I'm sorry, say that again.
That is a concern to us as well. I mean, those are the types of factors that you look at when you're trying to decide, well, what is the limit? Is the limit two overtime shifts in a row, or should it be something less? Should it be one overtime shift, and then you got to the next day you can't work a double? All of those things are factors that you use in a very complex decision-making process.
It does sound complex. and Hallie, what light can you shed on in terms of what you found in terms of how this is all managed?
Well, I mean, just from speaking to a union leader, which represents 150 employees, and there are many, basically all of the staff are unionized and separate unions. He said that, there are people who regularly take, work 60 to 80 hour weeks, Kane and also statewide at other nursing homes. And that again is a lot of these professionals are working for relatively low wages in very difficult work and emotionally challenging work, and they're trying to supplement their incomes and make up kind of for that. And we saw that in the data too. I mean, there are some people that, yes, if they're starting at $34,000 base salary, at the end of the year they're taking home, double that to even more. I mean, on the high end, like 80 to 90,000. So it really is putting them in a completely different bracket.
And I guess another question that comes to mind, Dennis, is that if Kane nursing homes had less overtime, could it provide more jobs for local nurses, care providers, etc.?
Oh, I'm sure that there, if we added staff, there may be an opportunity to add staff to reduce overtime. I'm not going to suggest otherwise. It's just that you don't just do that. You can't just say, and the story said that you could hire, I forget how many staff for the amount of money that you're paying overtime. The problem is that staff would not necessarily reduce them overtime by that same amount, because you need to look at where you need the overtime. Is it needed at one center as opposed to another, one shift as opposed to another? And as I mentioned earlier, when you have the call off early morning because you had a snowstorm the night before, the fact that you've added 10 staff persons doesn't mean that they're going to be there to cover that particular shift. You're going to have to cover that shift in a lot of instances with overtime. It's because of the nature of a 24/7 operation that there's work that needs to be done, care that needs to be provided, and we'll never skimp on providing the care. That's one of the things that I think is just going in the wrong direction. You need to provide good care, the best care you can for the residents if you're going to be in this business.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a public source report showing that nursing staff at Allegheny County-owned nursing homes are working an abundance of overtime hours and how that impacts the quality of care for residents. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Hashtag EPLive. Our guests, Hallie Stockton of our content partner, Public Source, Dennis Biondo, director of the Kane Regional Centers, and gerontologist Joe Angelelli, who is also an assistant professor at Robert Morris University. Jan on Twitter says, one guest stated low turnover is not necessarily a good thing. How so? It seems to indicate good morale. Joe, I believe that came from you.
Well, if you have somebody that's been doing the same job poorly for 25 years, that doesn't lead to good morale anywhere, and that can happen. You have folks that are kind of mailing it in, and it is a good job. They've been there a while. There's a healthy – there's a notion of getting the right people on the bus in any organizational culture, and if you have an inability to get rid of the folks who are not really adding to a healthy culture, then it's not a good thing. So there's a level of turnover that you'd like to be able to have. And I think the Canes have a healthy, 15% is 20% is certainly better than average, and it's not zero. But I'm sure there are folks working in the system that are probably, probably shouldn't be there.
Dennis, I know this is not the chief concern, but Kane employees earned, according to Hallie's report, $6.4 million in overtime pay in both 2012 and 2013. According to county figures, would it be cheaper to hire more workers?
No, not necessarily. You could do the calculation and say you can hire this many employees with this amount of money. But as I said earlier, that doesn't mean that the overtime goes away. We know that. We know that hiring additional employees, as I said, in a 24/7 operation, those employees are not always going to be there on the shift that you need them. They're not going to be there to cover the overtime that you need. There are some shifts, and one of the things we look at on a regular basis, as I said, every 2 weeks, every pay period, we look at the amount of overtime for that pay period, and we can drill down and we can look to see is there a particular shift where we always have a need for an additional staff person or two. And in those instances, when we find that, then we'll hire a person for those particular shifts to fill those particular needs, and that will save you the overtime. But you can't just say across the board you can hire X number of persons to get rid of all the overtime.
We have been talking about the issue of overtime at the Allegheny County-owned nursing homes with Dennis Biondo. He's director of the Kane Regional Center. Also, gerontologist Joe Angelelli has been with us, and the reporter who brought this story to our attention, our content partner, Public Source reporter Hallie Stockton. I want to thank all of you for taking part in this very enlightening conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, we will talk with a man behind a very unique educational approach. This is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.